Welcome to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
All right. So I've changed this message a little here tonight. Well, a whole lot. It's a totally different message from the one I was sharing this morning. Simply because I wanted to try and combine the idea that we're building the church, we want to serve in the house, and the call of God, making Jesus as the Lord of our life. I want to wrap it all up in one message, and I can't think of a better message to do that in than this one about the call to Jeremiah, a young man, son of a minister, and God called him. And he comes to him and he speaks to him in verse 4, Jeremiah 1:4. Then, everybody say then. I love then moments in my life. Like, life's just going along. Then something happened. Then presence happened. Then I was at church. Then I saw her walking down the street singing do a di 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 dum di di do. She looked good, look fine, now I know that she is mine. Oh, yeah. It's the Beatles song. How many of you remember that? Oh, you're old. Okay, so then there are then moments. For every single one of us, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, this guy was in church. This guy was the son of a minister. This guy had been following Jehovah all his young life. He was a youth, a young adult, a person who had studied the Bible. But he needed more. He needed something to happen to him that was an encounter. And he says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, just going back to this thing of the word of the Lord coming to you. If the word of the Lord hasn't come to you, don't try and make it come to you. Don't try and invent a word from the Lord. Don't interpret your desires and turn them into the word of the Lord for you. So that you come to a pastor and the pastor saying, this is what you should do. And you say, oh no, God has told me. You know it's not God who's told you. I know it's not God who's told you. I used to be a nice pastor, but I'm not now. Amen. I just say, no, he hasn't. And God told me, no, he didn't. God never violates common sense. Yeah, but I'm listening to God. You know, why would I need to listen to you? Maybe I'm your pastor. Yeah, but. You know, God's bigger than you. Yeah, he is. He's a whole lot bigger than me and you. Amen. And I know we like a private revelation because we can hide in there and do our own thing with a big God badge on top of it, you know, so nobody's going to question us. But let's get rid of that rebel heart. Let's break that rebel thing. It's not going to do you any good. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. They're just going to have a tough, hard life. And when the word of the Lord comes to you, it's going to come to an ear that's open to hearing. But even the ear that's open to hearing will have challenges in accepting what the Lord's trying to say to you. There's hardly a person in this book that didn't have a challenge with what God was saying to them. He that has an ear, let him hear. But when you hear, yield to the word of God. Surrender. Hold up the white flag. Say, I surrender. You might have been fighting God for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 30 years on something. Surrender. Give it up. Saul gave it up the moment that Jesus appeared to him. It's hard for you to kick against these goads in your thinking. He was fighting God on the inside, who's trying to persuade him to become a Christian, but he wouldn't. And he fought them. And every time he saw a Christian, he vented the hatred he was feeling for God on the inside, on the believers. But finally, when God met him and said, hey, Saul, he said, what is it, Lord? Straight away made him Lord. And bowed the knee. There can be relationships that we're in that God has convicted us about. There can be things that with our finances, with our job, with our family, with our direction in life that we've been resisting and we had no peace. And we can actually fade that voice on the inside of us. so that it doesn't even sound loud anymore, but we start losing traction in life. We start seeing things lost from us, and we're losing ground, and we wish we weren't losing it. It hurts, and we can have a misdirected thinking about God and saying, why isn't God helping me? Because we're just not yielding on that point that he's asked us to yield on. I want you to make Jesus Lord tonight, Lord of your life. And he will pick one area generally, he won't pick your whole life, he'll pick one area where he knows there's a little catch for you and it's a challenge for you. He doesn't choose the area where you'd go, yeah, sure, no problem. He'll choose the area where it's a challenge, because that's when it proves you're prepared to turn your will around to establish him as Lord in your life. Amen. All right. So he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This is all before you were born. God has got a plan for your life. Before you turned up here, before you were squealing in the birth place of the hospital. Before you got smacked on your backside by the doctor. Before you were hanging upside down over your mother and he's saying, oh, it's a boy or a girl, you know. Before you were cuddled by your mother, God knew you. He thought about you way back then. He thought, ooh, I'd like one of those. I haven't got one of those. I think I'll make me one of those. And now you're here, you big thing. You're in earth. You've turned up. It was planned. God didn't go, oops, didn't think of this one. He's not the God of oops. He's the God of plan. You're not a mistake. You might have been told you were, but you are not. You're not an accident. There's always a lot more babies born around Sydney 9 months after a power cut. Maybe it was the Lord who cut off the power. Amen. No television, what are you going to do? You know? That's such a guy thing, huh? Here's the deal. You and I were thought of in the mind of God, and he smiled when he thought of us way before you were born, and he said, I'm going to make them do something. I'm going to set them apart for a holy purpose. That means you separate yourself from the things that would destroy your destiny. And there are a lot of those things. And that's called getting holy. Getting separated from some things. Unsticking yourself. We live in a generation that wants to have cake and eat it too. It wants, you know, like, I want to do the stuff that's wrong and avoid the consequences. It's the, you know, it's condom thinking. Excuse me. It's... I want to do it, but I don't want to have the consequences. A bunch of rascals, you know, here tonight. Huh? Condom thinking. It's going to get a little rough in here tonight, you know, like, you thought you're in a, what's going on here? I'm talking in your language. Don't be looking at me in that holy face. Oh, what's you talking? You rascal, you know exactly what I'm on about. Don't trust those things. Don't even use those things. Amen. You got no use for them if you're a single young person. And girls, don't you be thinking that's the only way you can get love. No guy's worth that. Condom. If it's not on, it's not on. Amen. Oh, it's getting rougher in here. Guys, don't you be taking advantage of some girl looking for love like that. Be a gentleman. Be a man of valor. Keep your act together. If you can't keep it together before you get married, you won't keep it together after you get married. I said that pretty quickly, didn't I? If you've got no controls there, what makes you think marrying a pretty girl's going to fix it up? Doesn't fix it up. Personal government. Amen. Control. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Am I in a room of young people? Yeah, all right. This guy, God is saying, get holy, young man. I've sanctified you, young man. And I've set you apart as a prophet to nations. What a destiny for a young guy to hear about. Then I said, oh God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a young person. I'm a youth. Excuses. Follow me. Oh Lord, I got a field I've just bought. I got to go try it out. Follow me. Oh, I've got a yoke of oxen. I got to go try them out. Follow me. Oh, I've got a girlfriend. No, the analogy stops right there. Amen. I married a woman. I try to make light where some of the things are pretty darn serious, though. Okay, so excuses. Follow me. Oh, okay. Come to the wedding. Oh, no, we're all staying away. God sending out invitations to destinies, to tables, to a life of the highest level adventure. Oh, I got excuses. Get rid of your excuses. Excuses come generally from a lazy soul trying to find a legitimate reason for not putting the shoulder to the wheel. Don't be a lazy person. Stand up on the inside and say, I'm going to tackle this thing. And learn to do it as a young person. You'll develop habits that'll last all your life. God says to him, do not say I'm a youth. Because he didn't believe in himself. God believes in you when you don't believe in you. Don't say that you can't do it. Don't say that you can't do this thing. Unbelief keeps us from doing a lot of things. Because, you see, to obey God takes faith. When we go, let's hire the entertainment center, let's bring all these speakers out from around the world, hiring the hall is expensive. We're not talking in six figures, seven. Do you think we've got it when we decide to do it? No. How are you going to obey God if you don't believe he's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? You got to have faith to take the step that puts you out on the water. Any board members here tonight? Please settle down. It's all right. Amen. We're believing. We'll be good. That's the thing. And then we got to get lights. Got to get like 100 of these things hanging out of the ceiling. Then lights going everywhere. The pastor wants some 100-foot screen or whatever across the back. What is it? How are we going to do that? You have faith, we can do this thing. And if we don't believe in us, God believes in us. And you got to respond to that fact that somebody's believing in you and that everything will be all right. That's why you got to register in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, don't say I'm a youth. You shall go to all I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Fear not their faces. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'm with you. Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, look, I put my words in your mouth. See, two looks. Behold and see. I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. What's the vision about your life? What do you see in your future? Don't say I'm too old to have any future. You're not. You're just getting warmed up. You might say I've got too many problems, too many difficulties. It's time to yield and surrender to God, because most of our difficulties come from a lack of surrender in some area. We live with so many unnecessary problems and challenges that we didn't have to have if we had just simply submitted to the Lord and made Jesus the Lord of our life. Saul had all sorts of problems in his life because he was kicking hard against God's conviction in his life. When he yielded to God, he had even more problems, but he had peace. And you're better to have an outward life that's got challenges in it and an inward peace than to have a perfect outside life and an inner turmoil. That's the worst life of all. And so God says to him, I have put my words in your mouth, and that's the best thing you can put in your mouth, the word of God, speaking it over your circumstances, speaking it over your world. And the best vision you can have is that you have been set in victory over all kinds of predicaments. And then he says, this is what I have called you to do, to root out and pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. That is a unique distinctive of this movement and of this church, that we have been called to deliver people from the things that destroy them, to root out and to pull down strongholds, to get things at their roots and pull them out so that those people won't grow a tree full of bad fruit ever again, to pull down spiritual atmospheres over people's lives that are manipulating them and coercing them and are stronger than they can cope with, to pull those down through the power of Christ. And then he says, I've called you to destroy and to throw down, to destroy the works of the evil one. That's what Jesus was sent to do, and to throw down the same things. And then he says, and these, what you'll do once that is cleared away is to build and to plant. We build churches and we plant churches all around the world. And there are young people attending our college this year who will go and do that. A young couple who went to America many years ago, Mark and Bernadette Kelsey. It's so long ago that Mark had a mullet. And they arrived in New York. Why did they go? Because we asked them to. They went for 12 years. They thought they were going for life. They were prepared to be obedient to the Lordship of Christ in their way. Ruth and Chris Brown went to St. Petersburg, Russia, and started a Bible college there. Why? Because we asked them to. We felt that God was saying, this is what you should do. It wasn't just myself, but a consensus amongst people who are praying and seeking God. Jürgen Matesius wanted to go start a church in the Sunshine Coast. I said, no, you shouldn't start one there. You should start it in San Diego. He said, I've never been to San Diego. I said, I don't care. That's your place. It's going to fit you like a glove. He said, have you been there? I said, no, I just know. It will be beautiful. Amen. He went there. He's got one of the most rocking churches in America. We had a great church in New York, and that's growing today, that same church on Long Island that Mark and Bernadette started. What I'm saying to you is that I've watched some people just go and do their own thing and fall on their face. But once you're prepared to make Jesus Lord of your life, he expresses that lordship through some of the people he's put in your world to guide you. And you'd be wise to ask them to invite their opinion into your life. But as a college student this year, you're going to find yourself in all sorts of situations which maybe challenge you and you struggle with. But understand that's part of the formation process that God's got you in while being at this college. It's not just to give you information, it's to give you revelation and transformation. And that transforming thing will only ever happen through moments that are a little painful. I've hardly ever known anything joyful and wonderful to actually bring about a transformation. It's mostly those moments of challenge and difficulty, and we are resisting, but he wins. And finally, we are defeated and we yield. And Christ is established as the Lord of our life, we find ourselves in blessing. And that's the life of a believer. And we can never be used by God until we've actually come to that point where we've broken before him and made him the Lord. And we've yielded ourselves. And he will form us. The Bible says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Chris and I were privileged to be in Florence many years ago at our 25th wedding anniversary. Wasn't that long ago. We traveled through one of the art galleries there and saw the unfinished sculptures of Michelangelo. They're beautiful, but they're unfinished. The fact is God is sculpting a life in you, and he will not leave it unfinished. He will complete it in Jesus' name. What he has started, it's going to come to pass. Your destiny, your future, your purpose is all going to come to pass by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Phil Pringle podcast. Check out philpringle.com to follow Phil's blog and latest resources. Join us next time for more great teaching.